Well, if you are a guest here, thanks so much for being here. I'm Pastor JP. I have the privilege of being the founding senior pastor here. I was not here last week. I was in Haiti. If you've been a part of our church for any amount of time, you know how much the people of Haiti are on our hearts, how much we love them. It's a primary area of our mission extension and least of these ministries. I had the opportunity to go and be a part of a pastor training experience. We're training pastors all over Haiti. I had 300 men that I was training while I was there. The first thing that though that we did when we got to Haiti, hit the ground, you know, flew all night, no sleep, drove over to the place where we stay, changed. And I mentioned to you a few weeks ago that back 2 months ago when our guys were there, I met a grandma who was taking care of her grandkids, had a 10-day-old baby living in not even what you'd call a shack, just sticks together, rain pouring down on them. God broke my heart. And I said, we as a church have got to be able to build a house for this woman. And so we sent the money to have a house built for her. And then 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we sent our youth on a trip to Haiti. They were able to finish the project building that house for this grandma. And then I was just there last week. I went over to see the finished product, and this grandma recognized me, remembered me from when I was there before, came out, just hugged my neck and cried. She was so proud to show me her home. We went inside, got to pray for this little baby, and she told me that, you know, it'd been raining almost nonstop the last 3 weeks of Haiti, and she said for the first time, she's living in a place without the rain pouring down on her and on her grandkids. And she was so proud of her new house as any mom would be. And all the neighbors came in there. So you got to imagine not a very big space. And it was packed wall to wall with all her neighbors and people who came to see this new house that was built. And so I prayed for all of them. And I just began to speak to them and say, you know what? We built this house. We're here in Haiti because God loves you so very much. And I said, God sent me here to tell you that he loves you and that Jesus died for you and he rose again from the dead. And I shared the gospel with them all. And there on that house, I walked over to the door and I knocked on the door and I said to the grandma, now, if you didn't want me to come into your house, you could just yell at me and I'd go away. And I knocked again. I said, on the other hand, if you didn't want me to come in your house, you could just be quiet. And pretty soon I'd stop knocking and I'd leave. And I knocked on the door once more time. I said, but if you wanted me to come into your house, what would you do? And she opened the door and she said in Creole, come in. And I walked in. I said, there's a verse in the Bible that says this. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him. And I said to everyone gathered in this house, we're all just like wall to wall. I said, Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. And if you'll open the door, he'll come into your life and forgive you and make you new on the inside and give you eternal life and give you hope right now. And I just this is just something that I see happen in Haiti, and I pray would happen here. Every person in that house prayed and gave their life to Jesus Christ. And there are about 15 people packed in there in that room. So I want you to know that your prayers and your financial gifts are not only making a difference here at Crossline Church in this community, but around the world in Haiti. You're changing people's lives. So today, what I want to talk about is it's all about relationships. Pastor Kenny kicked it off. And he said last week, we got to love God and love people. That's the greatest commandment. That's what Jesus said. It's about our relationship with God and our relationship with people. And we know that if our relationships aren't working, our life is not working. And so as I put together what I wanted to say this morning, this is what I did. I know, just from what I know, I've read the book, I know there's a lot of verses in the Bible about relationships. So I looked up every passage that said something about one another or each other. Every passage in the New Testament that said something about one another or each other. So just listen. Just you know, I'm going to try to download these really quick. This is all the different statements and commands in the Bible, New Testament, about one another and each other. Be at peace with each other. Love one another. Love one another. Love each other. Love each other. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Live in harmony with one another. Love one another. Stop passing judgment on one another. Accept one another. Agree with one another. Encourage one another. Serve one another humbly in love. Don't provoke one another or envy each other. Bear with one another in love. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Submit to one another. Have the same mindset as Christ with one another. Do not lie to each other. Bear with each other. Forgive one another. Teach and admonish one another with wisdom, using psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Love each other. Encourage one another. Encourage one another. Build each other up. Live in peace with each other. Strive to do what is good for each other. Encourage one another daily. Consider how you might spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Don't give up meeting together with one another. Encourage one another. Keep on loving one another. Don't slander one another. Don't grumble against one another. Confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other. Love one another deeply from the heart. Love one another. Love each other deeply. Offer hospitality to one another. Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Love 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 one another. 50 commands in the New Testament. 50 commands in the New Testament on loving one another, on encouraging one another, on bearing one another's burdens, on all the ways we are to do relationships with one another. If our relationships aren't working, our life's not working. If our relationships aren't working, our life is not working. So what I want to do today is I want to lay some foundational groundwork on how to have healthy relationships, successful relationships, positive relationships. My prayer is that every one of us here, wherever we feel like we are in our relational skill sets, that we would be equipped and empowered to have better relationships, whether it's with our spouse or our kids or our neighbor across the street or the people we work with or the folks that we attend church with. Just stepping into the kind of relationships that God wants us to be able to have. And so as I looked at these passages, I put together in my mind six observations, just six takeaways that really impressed me about all of these 50 commands with respect to how we do relationships with one another. So this is gonna be an encouragement for what we need to know, how we need to feel, and what we need to do to have healthy and successful relationships. What we need to know, how we need to feel, what we need to do to have healthy and successful relationships. So here's the first observation. Following Christ makes a difference in the way we do our relationships. Following Christ makes a difference in the way we do our relationships. Now, if you are a follower of Christ, this should just be intuitively true. You should understand this. Because what you should understand if you are a follower of Christ is that following Christ makes a difference in everything. Following Christ changes our lives. Jesus said this, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." There is a path of following Christ that's different from every other path. So, of course, it's going to be different in terms of how we do our relationships, since that's life. Because you come to the end of your life, you're not going to go, "Man, I should have worked more. I should have watched more TV. I should have played more sports." You know, if there's any level of regret, it's going to be in the area of our relationships. And if there's any level of satisfaction and fulfillment, it will be in the area of our relationships. Because if our relationships aren't working, our life's not working. If our relationships are working, our life is working. So that's why there's 50 commands about relationships. Following Christ makes a difference in the way we do our relationships. Now, it occurs to me, because people are my business, that some of us do relationships better than others, just naturally. Some people are naturally people-oriented. Some people just kind of naturally have an intuitive sense how to get along with people. Some people are more adept in social situations, and some people just have better relationships. So some of us maybe have greater skills than others. But let me ask you this. Whether you consider yourself a people person or not, or whether you feel like already you have pretty good relationships. So just be honest. How many of you, and I'm asking for a show of hands, how many of you feel like you could be even better in the way you treat people and the way you get along with people and the way you do your relationships? How many think you could be even better? I hope I saw every hand go up. I saw a lot of hands. If you didn't raise your hand, you know. Well, anyway. There's some things we can learn from these scriptures about how to have healthy relationships, positive relationships, successful relationships. We can grow, whether we feel like we've got some skill sets going for us or not. Following Christ makes a difference. Just listen to some of these verses. John 13, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another." So following Jesus gets lived out in the way we treat each other. Makes a difference. Philippians 2, 5, in your relationships with one another, have the mind of Christ Jesus. So when we are in a relationship with Christ and we have the mind of Christ, it affects how we are in relationships with each other. Ephesians chapter 4 says, live in a manner worthy of your new calling in Christ by being completely humble and gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. Wow, that passage makes it very clear. We have this new calling in Christ and we're live it out. How do we live it out? In a monastery, you know, by praying great prayers and thinking great thoughts about God? No, we live it out with people and the way we treat people and the way we're in relationships with people. See, following Christ makes a difference in the way that we do our relationship. And Jesus, you know, in the Sermon on the Mount, greatest sermon ever preached by the greatest preacher who ever lived, he closes out the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. It's like, you know, any great preacher gives a close, gives a challenge, gives a takeaway. Jesus says, hey, listen, it comes down to this. There are two paths and there's two doors to each of those paths. And one is a very wide path with a big door and one's a very narrow path with a small door. And he was trying to say, the way to do your own thing is a big path with a big door. But if you're going to follow me, it's a small path, narrow path, small door. But see, he says there's a door that you walk through, but then are you finished just because you walk through the door? No, what do you have to do afterwards? You walk on the path. So Jesus is kind of saying this, there is a beginning of your relationship with God. We call it here crossing the line. That there is a time when you just in faith receive all the goodness that God's given to you. In faith, you open up your heart to Jesus, like I shared with the folks in Haiti. You hear Jesus knocking and you ask him to come into your heart. That's stepping through the door. Now there's a path on the other side of the door. And on that path, it's following Jesus every day. And because Jesus knows what life is all about, he knows it's all about relationships. He's given us 50 commands that tell us how we walk on that path. So just first observational takeaway is following Jesus makes a difference in the way we do relationships. So here's the question for you to consider. I got to consider it for me. You got to consider it for you. Are you a follower of Jesus? Is that your starting point and your reference point for how you're going to look at your life and how you're going to do your relationships? Am I a follower of Jesus? Okay, here's the second observation from all these 50 commands. Relational commands, that's commands that talk about one another and each other, how we treat each other. Relational commands call for a response of faith and obedience. They call for a response of faith and obedience. And I tell you what I mean by that. Because when you read the Bible's an amazing book, by the way. I've had the privilege of reading it through cover to cover many times. I'm not saying that to boast. It's been a discipline of my life for a lot of years of my life. It's an amazing book. 66 books in one book, 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 books in the New Testament. It was written over 1,500 years, written by 40 plus authors, covers virtually every aspect of life. There's one continuous theme. God loves us and has a plan for our life, and he's provided everything that we need to be in a relationship with him through Jesus Christ. So when you read the Bible, at any place in the Bible, sometimes what you read are statements of truth. God is revealing something that's true. And when you reveal that something that God says is true, the response that God is trying to evoke within us is believe it. God says it, I believe it, that settles it. So you read something that's true, you believe it. Sometimes you're reading in the Bible it's given a promise, something that God is promising to do in your life. And the response that God is seeking to evoke within us is to claim it, to accept that, to receive that promise. And other times when you're reading in the Bible, there are commands. And the response that God is seeking to evoke within us when we read a command is, what do you think? Yeah, obey it. Obey it. Now, here's the tricky part. Obedience is a choice. So every time we hear a command from God, we make a choice. I'm either going to obey it or I'm going to ignore it. And I say ignore it because that's what we say to ourselves to justify our disobedience. I'm ignoring it. No, we're really disobeying it. See, we either obey or we disobey. So, 50 relational commands. This is like what I'm doing here is I'm building upon a principle here. 50 relational commands. Every relational command, God wants to evoke within us a response of faith and obedience. I accept that as a command from God. I believe it, and now I'm going to put it into practice and do it. And there's 50 commands. So none of us have to kind of go, I have no idea how to do my relationships. There's 50 commands that tell us how to do it. God gives us a blueprint to have healthy, positive, successful relationships. I can give you a promise, seriously, that you can go to the spiritual bank on. If you want to have healthy, successful, positive relationships, you can, because God reveals the kind of relationships he wants you to have, and he reveals how you can actually live it out and have them. This is one of those great sermons where it's not just, you know, oh, I don't even know what, but I feel guilty, so it must be spiritual. No. This is God saying, here is a blueprint for you in the area that matters most, your relationships. And I'm gonna give you the directions you need to have healthy, successful relationships. And I'm gonna tell you what you need to do to have them. Obey these commands. Obey these commands. So relational commands call for response of faith and obedience. So what's the problem? Here's the problem. Many of us are reactors rather than proactors. We live on the basis of reaction rather than on the basis of proaction. Well, what's the difference? Reaction is I'm in a relational situation, and depending upon how that person treats me, that's how I treat them in response. That's reactive. So I'm married, and my spouse says something very hurtful to me. And so I react by saying something angry and hurtful in response. Or I react by harboring that in my heart and getting bitter. Or I react by being passive aggressive, acting like it didn't bother me, but filing it away and remembering what they did to me. And then letting it bleed out in kind of passive aggressive type behavior. See, that's reactive. Reactive is having a roommate who takes your clothes without asking permission and wears them. And you were looking for that shirt. Where's that shirt? And then you see them, you know, waltz in, and they're wearing the shirt that you wanted to wear, and they didn't ask your permission. So you react by yelling at them, you know. Sucker, buy your own shirts. I think I said something like that. But anyway. Or you're being reactive. Or reaction is you're in a small group, and you discover that someone in your small group is living a double life. They're a hypocrite. They're saying one thing about their relationship with God, but you know that's a big lie because they got this secret thing going on that is anything but reflective of Christ. And you react by saying, yeah, but if I say something to them about that, they might point the finger at me and say something to me about where I fall short. And I don't want them saying something to me about where I fall short, so I'm not gonna say anything. See, all of that is reactive relationship. What's the difference? Proactive relationship. Proactive relationship. not based upon what's happening in the relational situation, but based upon what Jesus has said about healthy, positive, successful relationships, I've got a core sense of value. I got a core sense of principle. I know the path I'm supposed to be walking on. So my spouse says something that's hurtful to me, and rather than reacting, I know that God says, forgive as I've forgiven you. Bear one another's burdens. Encourage one another. Don't respond to a blessing with a curse, but bless one another. So my response is proactive. See, I'm following Christ's principles, faith and obedience, putting into action. I'm dealing with a coworker, and they're just a gossip. And they gossip about fellow employees, and they gossip about the boss, and I'm in this conversation, and they're gossiping, and reactive would be, well, you know, I don't want it to be uncomfortable, or I just want to go with the flow, or I don't want to make a big deal, so I'm just going to listen, and inside I know it's not right, but I'll just kind of just, I don't want to draw attention to the situation. Proactive would be to either excuse yourself from the conversation, or to speak the truth in love. See, healthy relationships, successful relationships are not based on reactive behavior, but proactive behavior. Proactive based on what? Proactive based on the 50 commands in the Bible. We know what they're saying, and we in faith and obedience put them into to practice. Another area where this breaks down is feeling versus faith. Feeling versus faith. See, feeling-based relationships are this. Oh, Kenny, you did such a good job with Beast Feast, and you did such a good job at preaching last weekend. I feel so appreciative towards you, so I encourage you. See, it's all based on my feeling. But what if I find out he didn't do a good job with Beast Feast or didn't do a good job preaching last week? So now I feel disappointed in you. And so now I just kind of give you the cold shoulder because I feel disappointed. So I'm acting based upon my feelings. You see what I'm talking about? So many of us do relationships based upon our feelings. If I feel in love with you, I act loving towards you. If I feel encouraged by you, I encourage you in response. On the other hand, if I feel like you're bugging me, then I just cut you off. Or if I feel like you're threatening me, I'm very defensive. Or if I feel like you don't matter to me, I treat you like you don't matter to me. See, it's a feeling-based relational pattern. Can you see how destructive that is and how hurtful that can be and how it just perpetuates all the problems we have in our families, in our marriages, and in our churches? It's feeling-based rather than faith-based. Well, what's faith-based? Faith-based is God says it, I believe it, therefore I'm acting upon it. It's not based on my feeling. So I don't act in a loving way towards you because I feel love towards you. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, and I want that, but I don't wait till I feel it before I act upon it. I faith it until I feel it. I don't fake it. I'm not faking anything. I faith it until I feel it, because Jesus has commanded me to love, so I love. Jesus commanded me to forgive, so I forgive. Jesus commanded me to encourage, so I encourage. Jesus commanded me to bear one another's burdens, so I bear one another's burdens. I don't wait till I feel all the things that would lead me to do that. I do it on the basis of faith. Now, because I don't want to be confusing, if all of our relationships and every aspect of our relationships was just on faith, that would get really old, wouldn't it? I'm faith in it. There's something powerful that happens, though, when we faith it. When we faith it, that pleases God, because Hebrews 11:6 says this, without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that seek him. And one of the ways God rewards our seeking of him by faith is he produces the feelings. So if I'm in a relationship with someone at work that I have a really hard time loving, I faith it, and I love them, and I encourage them, and I bear their burdens, and I bless them, and I speak words of encouragement to them, all of a sudden, I start to feel what I'm faithing. When a friend of mine hurts me and doesn't take any ownership for that, by faith, I forgive them. And when those feelings come up again, by faith, I forgive them. And when those feelings come up again, by faith, I forgive them. And God blesses that. And you know what? I feel forgiving towards them. See, relational commands, all these 50 commands, they call for a response of faith and obedience. Faith and obedience. So what do we have to do? You know, and those of you who love this kind of stuff, you can write these three words down. Realize, internalize, actualize. Realize, internalize, actualize. You got to realize what God says, because if you don't know the 50 commands, they can't be helping you. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If the truth exists there, but you don't know it, it's not setting you free. So you got to realize all that the Bible says about relationships, all these one another's. It's not that difficult. Go to the computer, type in under BibleGateway.com when it comes up, one another. Then it drops down and says, what's the scope of your search? The New Testament. And all these 50 commands will come up. And then you can read them and study them on your own. So you got to realize, then you got to internalize. You got to receive that into your heart. You got to let that word make a difference in your life. That's why it says over in Psalm 119, thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against you. When we let the word come into our lives, it renews our minds, renews our hearts, renews our internal structure, and then we live out the reality of that, you see. So you got to realize, internalize, then actualize. Then you do it. Then you do it. So you're not reactive, you're proactive, you're not feeling-based, you're faith-based. So the relational commands of the Bible, they call for a response of faith and obedience. Here's a third observation. This is just looking at the scriptures and kind of gleaning what it has to say so it can set us free. So every one of us, whether we feel like we're pretty good already at relationships or we're just not very good at relationships, we can have healthy, positive, successful relationships because it's the relationships that Jesus is calling us to have and to experience with the dynamic of his love and his power in our lives, making it possible for us to have them. Here's the third observation. We're to be other-centered in our relationships. Other-centered. Boy, that's the thing that it just stands out. In fact, I have to tell you, when I was reading through all of these and, you know, kind of just letting God speak to me and writing notes and stuff, that's the first thing that stood out. Boy, you know, for this to happen, for me to actually have these kind of relationships, I got to be other-centered. It can't be all about me. I can't be a, you know, junior narcissist. I can't be like the guy who wrote the book, Humility, and How I Found It. Or the follow-up, The 10 Most Humble Men in the World, and How I Mentored the Other 9. I gotta put other people first. Now that runs counter to our natural DNA. I know that. But doesn't run counter to our new life in Christ. That is an expression of our new life in Christ. That's why I go back to, you know, point one. Following Christ makes a difference in our relationships. Being other-centered. It is really the living out of what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Again, the greatest sermon ever preached by the greatest preacher ever lived. He said what has been come to me known as the golden rule. Do unto others, finish it out for me. Yeah, we all know the golden rule. Do unto others as you have them do unto you. That's being other-centered. So in your marriage, do unto your spouse as you would have them do unto you. With your kids, do unto them as you would have them do unto you. With your neighbor across the street, do unto your neighbor as you would have them do unto you. With the people you work with, do unto them as you would have them do unto you. With the people in your small group, your community group here at church, do unto them as you would have them do unto you. With the person that you see pretty regularly at Starbucks, the barista, do unto them as you'd have them do unto you. With the guy that you say hi to and, you know, ask if he has three more sets on the exercise machine at the gym. Hey, do unto them as you would have them do unto you. See, if we live that out, What a difference it would make. Jesus knew what he was talking about. If our relationships aren't working, life's not working. So how can we have our relationships work? We got to be other-centered. We've got to be putting others before ourselves. And you see, that means a change in our internal structure. Because naturally, that didn't happen. But supernaturally, it does. When we're following Jesus, he changes us from the inside out. He renews us. He transforms us. He creates within us new attitudes. You might know this. Henry Ford became known for the automobile, but he wasn't the person who actually invented the automobile. But what he did is he mass-produced them. He mass-produced the automobile because Thomas Edison designed the assembly line. So for the first time, cars could be made in an automated basis so that through the assembly line, they could be mass-produced. This is true. One day, the assembly line broke, and Henry Ford didn't know what to do, so he called Thomas Edison, who designed it. Thomas Edison came, tinkered around for about 5 minutes, fixed the whole thing, got it working again, sent Henry Ford a bill for $100,000. Now, that's a lot of money now, but $100,000 back then, that was like mega money. So Ford responded back, $100,000 for 5 minutes of tinkering? Thomas Edison redid the bill. He said, 5 minutes of tinkering, $5. Knowing where to tinker, $99,995. Do you know the Holy Spirit is the only one who knows where to tinker in your life to change you to have healthy, successful relationships? He changes us. He produces in us love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So we are other-centered and not just self-centered. Here's a fourth observation. This is the second thing that really stood out to me when I looked at all these scriptures. Love one another is the repeated default relational tool. Love one another. It's the command repeated over and over again. It's that 14 times in the New Testament is repeated the command to love one another. And in three additional times, we are to be devoted to one another in love, serve one another in love, and honor one another in love. So that's 17 times of all the commands. So it is the one behavioral expression most necessary for healthy relationships. Love one another. It says this in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice with injustice, but rejoices with the truth. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith, is always hopeful. It endures through every circumstance. See, the Bible says God is love. The Bible says God so loved the world. The Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. Love is what will transform our lives and all of our relationships. The repeated command, contrary to what some of us think, is not fix one another. Change one another. Speak the truth to one another. No, it's love one another. Remember, do unto others as you have them do unto you. It's love. Love one another. So if you think about all the relational skills necessary to have a healthy, successful relationship, think about them as like tools. Each of them is a tool. And you put them in a toolbox. You got your toolbox. Every person here has a toolbox. Some of us have a toolbox with just one or two tools in it. Some of us have a toolbox with a lot of tools. Just we had that going for us already. What's your default tool? It better be love if you want to have healthy, successful relationships. Love. And the Bible says this. This is why I love the Bible, because it answers the questions that we have. It says in Romans chapter 5, the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. And it says in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love. So if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, go back to point one, following Christ makes a difference in our relationships. You have the Holy Spirit. It's been poured out into your heart. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. The love of God has been poured out into your heart through the Holy Spirit, and what the Spirit produces is love. So you have, right now, in your toolbox, you have what you need to have healthy, successful relationships, whether it's with your spouse or the person across the street or someone in your small group or a person at work. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have the one tool most necessary that'll give you healthy, successful, positive relationships, and that's love. So loving one another needs to be our default tool. So let me ask you, is loving others the default tool you use in your relationships? Is that your go-to tool to love others? Here's a fifth observation. You guys are going to have to listen faster. They listened quicker in the first service. I don't know what it is. Can't be me talking more. I don't know. That's not it. The fifth observation is this. The way we treat one another flows from a life that's being transformed by Christ. Okay? So, well, you might be saying, well, JP, isn't that what you said in point one? Following Christ makes a difference in our relationship? Well, yeah, but this builds on it. Following Christ makes a difference in our relationship if you're really following Christ. See, there's a lot of people who have a relationship with Christ, but they don't really follow Christ. Not where it really matters. And where does life really matter? Relationships. It's kind of like we've given our lives to Jesus. We accept his forgiveness. We know he's in our heart. We even go to church. Maybe we're in a Bible study. But we don't make the connection between what really matters. That's our relationship. That's our marriage. That's our parenting. That's dealing with the person across the street. That's dealing with our boss. That's dealing with the people who work with us. That's dealing with our coworkers. That's dealing with the people in our small group. That's dealing with relationships, because that's where really life is lived out. It's in relationships. We don't make the connection between Jesus working my life and my relationships. But if we did, he would transform our relationships. Because I tell you something, if you look at all these 50 commands like I did and study everyone in their context, many of them, if not most of them, are the application to a spiritual truth. So a spiritual truth is stated, and then it says, therefore, love one another. A spiritual truth is stated, therefore, encourage one another. A spiritual truth is stated, therefore, bear one another's burdens. A spiritual truth is stated, therefore, speak the truth to one another. So the point is, the relational application is being tied to a relational experience with God. See, because God's life is flowing into us, and God's forgiveness is flowing into us, and God's power is flowing into us, and God's love is flowing into us, what are we to do about it? Flow it into others. Flow it into others. See, if there was an electric wire up here, you would all say, don't touch it. But if you knew something about JP, when people say don't do something, what does JP want to do? I'll show you, I'll do it. No, I'm holding on this wire. And it's just like, oh. And I reach over and I grab Greg's hand. Now what's happened all of a sudden? The electricity's flowing into me, now it flows into him. And if he reached over and he grabbed his daughter's hand, it'd flow into her. And if she keep reaching over, it'd flow into them. Because there's just something about our bodies are electrical currents, so it comes into us and it goes out of us. That's the way the love of Jesus is supposed to work. When we're being filled up with the love of Jesus, when we reach out and touch somebody else, we give them a real touch, an electrifying touch with God's love or God's encouragement or God's forgiveness or God's acceptance or whatever the relational command that's being expressed applies. That's why Jesus said this in John chapter 7. If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. For he who believes in me, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. So if I'm connected to Jesus and I'm believing in Jesus, and I'm coming to Jesus with my thirst. And Jesus is satisfying my thirst. The Holy Spirit is working my life because I'm every day walking with Jesus. I'm experiencing Jesus. And living water is flowing out of me. If living water is flowing out of me and I get close to somebody, get what? Guess what? They get wet. I splash them with living water because it's flowing out of me. Are you splashing anybody? Because that's what happens. It affects our relationships. When we are in a vital, daily, moment-by-moment relationship with Jesus and living in step with Jesus, it affects our relationship. So the flow of Christ's life flows out of us. This is the last observation. I promise. This is it. But don't ever believe a preacher who says he promises this is it. Just saying. Here's the sixth observation. Our attitudes, our actions, and our words are all important in healthy relationships. It's everything. The attitude, the actions, and the words. You know, your attitude is kind of just the demeanor of which you approach life, or the perspective that you bring to a relationship or to a situation, or the kind of the personal, the charisma that you bring to it and the way you see it. I shared with the pastor's conference in Haiti this. See, this is not spiritually profound, but it's really practical. And I know it's cross-cultural because they laughed and they got it when I said it and they resonated with it. I said, I've traveled all over the world, literally, and I have. I've been blessed to travel all over the world and meet all kinds of people. And I said, I divide people up into two categories. Every person I've ever met, ever had any kind of relationship with, I divide them up into two categories. And now you're thinking, oh, gosh, which category is JP putting me in? This is it. Some people are life-giving, and some people are life-sucking. They're life givers. There's some people, they're positive, they're encouraging, they're grace-filled, they add value to you, they build you up, they're life-giving. And then there's some people who just drain every emotional bit of energy you got in your body. They just take it out, like a black hole of emotional need. They're life givers and life suckers. So what kind of attitude do you have in your home? What kind of attitude do you have with your neighbors? What kind of attitude do you have with the people at work? Are you a life giver? Are you a life sucker? It's your attitude, see? I used to say to my kids when they were little, you know, hey, are you a winner or a whiner? Are you a winner or a whiner?
Hey, Dad, yeah.
Are you a winner or are you a whiner? And, you know, little kids just become adults, and there's a lot of whiners. But that's not the way to have a healthy, successful relationship. Attitude, right? Action. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, let your light shine, that's attitude, so that others see your good works, that's action. And they'll glorify your Father in heaven. So it's not either or, it's both and. We are to have the attitude and the action, and thirdly, the words. Because a lot of these relational commands, the application of it is in the words that we speak. Encourage one another. Well, the words are either encouraging or discouraging. Love one another. Words are either loving or unloving. Bear with one another's burdens. Our words either make people feel like we're a burden bearer for them, or we're just another burden to them. See, our words give life or take life away. So healthy, successful relationships, it's the congruence. That's a good word. Boy, I like good words. That's a good one. Anyway, I got to close. I can't go off on that. So it's the congruence of our attitude, our action, and our words. And if we have healthy, successful relationships, it's because all three are coming to bear. We're taking all these commands, these 50 relational commands in the Bible, and our attitude, our actions, and our words are all lining up in the way we treat people. And if our relationships aren't working, our life is not working. And then the contrary, if our relationships are working, our life is working. And every one of us here admitted early on, we could do a little better. And some of us could do a whole lot better. And some of us need a total overhaul. And Jesus will give us that. It begins with becoming a follower of Jesus and then becoming someone who's living in daily, moment by moment, union with Jesus. And then taking those three words, realize, seeing what those commands are, internalize, accepting them for yourself, and then actualize, putting them into practice, being faith-based, not feeling-based, being a pro-actor, not just a reactor. See, God's word works. It works. If we'll open up our hearts and humbly receive it, and in the power of the Spirit, put it into practice. We ask God to do that for you. Let's pray. Father, I pray that every one of us here, every one of us, whether this is our home church or this is the first time we've ever been to this church or the first time we've ever been to any church, I pray for every person that we would have healthy, successful, positive relationships. Fill every one of us up with the love of Jesus. May you just download your love into our lives, and then may we overflow and splash onto others. And I pray for that. In Jesus' name, amen. We're gonna